Hey, it's good to be here. Family Camp 24. Hey, I was born again August the 7th, 2003. And I've been working. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent, John 6:29. So the new creation, putting on the new creation realized is an ongoing work. Believing in Jesus Christ in this world is a work. Not working by law, but it's a work to, it's a diligent effort to build this faith in the Son of God. It takes a diligent day by day, you know, in a sense, hour by hour, every morning, just day after day, this faith, this new creation transformation is a work in the sense of believing in Jesus Christ in this hell-bound, sin-sick world. You know why I've been working? Because I got heaven. I got heaven on my mind. If I've got heaven on my mind, I know you got heaven on your mind. I see it all the time. I've got Jesus on my mind every day. And I've been listening to something recently here. I want to just share it with you. An old-fashioned hymn that's been around forever. He says, I got heaven on my mind. I got Jesus on my mind. I've never been there to heaven, but I've been told that the gates are made of pearling and the streets are made of gold. But I say the half has never been told. Truly, truly, when I get to heaven, when we get to heaven, we won't care about gates of pearl or golden streets, the symbolism here, because we're going to see God Almighty in the flesh. We're going to see Him as He is. And He told Moses, no man can see me and live. But on that great day, when the Son of God lights up the heaven, there's no need for the sun or the moon for lights or anything, because He lights up the place with His presence. I can't wait to see that. So I'm going to work my way by faith, the work of faith, to do that is the new creation is continuing to abound and abound more in my life and in yours day by day. That's what it takes. Day by day. I know from learning from myself and my ups and downs and going through dark times, up and down, faith back and forth, continuing to go forward. I told my wife the other day, as I examine myself, I'm going forward. We will not be stopped. We're going to heaven. We're going to see God Almighty who spoke things into existence. We took dirt, He made a man. I want to see Him. I want to see Him who took on flesh and came down to save my soul. I want to see all His glory. I want you to see it. And the only way to do that is this new creation realized, to put on the principle to be like Jesus in a sense. Now, I can't raise the dead. We can't walk on water. We can't do any of that. We're not saying that. But the character of Christ, the new creation, that's what we're looking for. Hey, when you're born again, it's a beautiful thing. It's the greatest day of my life, August 7th, 2003. I'll never forget it. It's a beautiful thing. Everybody looks good at the starting line, right? Get on your mark. Get ready. But you better keep this in mind. You can hit the ground running like you shot from a gun. But going the distance is the hard part, son. Everybody looks good at the starting line. Amen. The key to it is to look good at the end of the race, the fight, the struggle, the battle. That's where we're really going to look good. So we're going to look, hopefully, to this evening, I can go through this Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 6. And we're going to look what Jesus did. And then we're going to take a look by this here that we're going to do. We're going to put on the new creation ourselves. Now, last year's topic was love. So I'm going to go ahead and say in this room here this evening, everybody here has got that foundation. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. But the foundation of our new creation, to be able to do that is faith. The perseverance of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Those who believe He is, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're not going to be able to do anything without faith. So we've got this strong foundation of faith that we're building. There comes love. There comes conviction. There comes humility towards the Son of God. And then when those things come, when those things blossom in your life, in your character, you're going to put on Jesus. Conviction. humility, commitment, dedication. Day after day, day after day. I'm going to show you something here in a little while where it took day after day, day after day. Let's look at Hebrews 12, 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin that which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those who the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, Lord, help me. Help me be clear in my speech. Help me be pleasing in your sight with the words that I say that can encourage the brethren, your saints, to help them put on the new creation realized by the perseverance of faith. Help us, Lord. Help us do this, Father. We're so thankful for Jesus. His name we pray, amen. Let's go here to verse 1. Therefore, so abounding faithfulness has always been the first principle of God's true people. As I just said a few minutes ago, faith is the foundation of everything that we do. Then comes love, and then it comes commitment, conviction, and humility, and all those things. But faith is the foundation that we operate from. Without faith, we're not going to be able to do anything. God's true people, the vast number of this great crowd of witnesses here, who can testify to the fact that regardless of the hardship or challenge, God will strengthen and sustain his people through the test of their faith. Through the test of their faith. Lay aside the life leading, the way leading to life is straight and difficult and narrow. It will not allow for a lot of excess baggage. This is really to look at this part here, to lay aside everything or anybody or anything. It's a personal thing in a sense to really have the courage to examine yourself. And you can ask my wife in a sense, Barry examines himself all the time. Say, Lord, honey, look at that. The Lord wouldn't be pleased with that. That's not who I am. But to lay aside everything, you know, a runner's not going to run with weights. A boxer is not going to go into a match with one guy. He's got 10-pound gloves and the other guy's got pound gloves. They're not going to do that. We're going to lay aside every encumbrance that keeps us from running this race, this fight, this struggle. The new creation will examine self. You know, I heard this from Brother Matt here just a couple weeks ago. And I thought it was a really, really cool little statement. Who really is on the throne of your life? Who really rules your heart? Really thought about that. Who really is the throne on our heart? Is it Jesus? Run with endurance. The race that is set before us always has been and always will be a battle for the souls of men. Biblical faith has never been described in a casual manner. It's a fight, Paul says. Yes, indeed it is. It's a war. This planet is nothing more, the way I see this, is a raging battle for the souls of men. Everyone's going to die that's ever lived or ever will be is going to give an account to Jesus Christ. It's a raging battle for the truth. It's a raging battle for your soul, for your children's soul. That's what it is. I'm glad to be able to see that in the new creation. It's like a boxing match. This walk of faith is never described casually. Now here he says, Paul says, this race set before us. Is that clock right over there? Oh yeah, okay, I got till 7, right? Or yes. Okay. Yeah, I thought, right? 6:30. I didn't run my mouth that much already. All right, where am I at? Let's see here. So he says here, to run with endurance this race that is set before us. And I see this race, this walk of faith, such a delusion in the world, what I see, what people say and believe, and just believe Jesus in your heart, and you don't have to do anything. But this is a race. This kind of leads me to an illustration. I was a motocross racer for years and years, and if you don't know anything about motocross, where's my brother at? Where's he at? Oh, there he is. It's really a brutal sport. It's really demanding. Years ago, they did tests back in the 80s when the pro guys used to do 45-minute motos. They did two of them, and they tested the professional motocross athletes against all the athletes in the world, boxers, basketball players, whatever. The only more conditioned athletes in the world at that time were the soccer players. The motocross guys were number two. Because here you are, you got a 225-pound rocket ship that's underneath of you, 60-horsepower race bike, and you're holding on to it with your arms and your legs, and you're going on a racetrack that's chewed up and full of ruts and bumps and holes, and you're going as fast as you possibly can. So it's pulling you like this, and you're on the brakes hard, and you're pulling, and you're standing up, you're sitting down. It's just calisthenics constantly, and you're doing it for 30 minutes. There's no rest. And this rocket, this thing's just pulling you. And you know how a gravel road gets chopped all up, you know, gets potholes in it and bumps in it? A racetrack gets tenfold like that. So you're coming out of a corner or whatever, and you're wide open, you're going, and you're just trying to hold on to this thing. Your arms get pumped up, your legs burn, your snot runs out of your nose. You start breathing hard like you're running if you don't control yourself. And this race here, it kind of reminds me of the deception of that. These professional athletes, like football players, they laughed when they said these motocross guys were athletes. They laughed at them until they saw the test results. And that kind of reminds me of the deception. People don't understand what that is. It kind of reminds me of the deception, what this true walk of faith is. Nothing casual about it. A diligent effort. And that's what we've been bought with a cost. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All this stuff is here we have to deal with. It's all there in the scripture. Indeed, we've been bought with a cost. Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. That's what it commands us to do. It's what it takes. So this casual walk, this casual faith, it won't cut it. Especially in the world that's coming at these young people, this America that's coming at you. It's completely ungodly. It's a complete attack on God and Jesus Christ. That's what it is. But I want you to look here in Hebrews chapter 11, what these Old Testament saints in this war zone did without what the promise, the Holy Spirit. These guys didn't have Jesus Christ as their mentor. They couldn't put Jesus on the throne of their life. And look what these guys did. Go there to Hebrews 11. Look at 32. We don't have, my water's leaking there. You got something? Can somebody put something, something to where, set that on? I don't want to, it's falling over there. Look what these guys did here in Hebrews 11, 32. What more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from the weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. But God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Look what these guys endured without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus Christ. And Matt, I heard you say it the other day, brother. I said, I appreciated it. You said, there's no excuse. We're talking about something for us to live. There's no excuse. And I have to look at self there. I've tried to make excuses before. There's no excuse not to go forward. No excuse. Look what these guys did. They not could see what we see. They didn't have Jesus Christ. Hey, I want you to see something here. You know, it's kind of right that I'm going first here because my topic is Christ, his faith, the perseverance of faith and all the rest of these guys' topics, they're all pointing to Him. They're all about Him. Colossians 3, Colossians 1:13, for we were rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's the image of the visible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things have been created, both in the heavens and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Jesus, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. This whole thing is about Jesus Christ. The reason this world was created is about Jesus. What God is doing through us in Jesus. That's why it's here. I want to show you something here that these Old Testament saints didn't have, what we have. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. They didn't have the book of Hebrews. First one, God hath spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways. In these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. It was made through Him, by Him, and for Him. Jesus. Listen to this. Upholding all things by the word of His power makes Christ the sustaining force of the cosmos itself. And again, reminding of one of Paul's declarations, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, consist. The credential undergirds Christ's throne by right of maintenance and support. One who is the sole support and source of every power within His creatures and creations has every right to rule over them and to expect true love and submission to His will. Perhaps a word is in order regarding the manner of Christ upholding all things is by the word of His power. Hence, a spiritual by nature, and that spirituality is evident from the very makeup of the material things themselves. Dr. John Cleveland Cothran, distinguished mathematician and chemist, has noted that each atom of the 102 elements consists of exactly the same three kinds of particles, protons, electrons, and neutrons. All the protons and neutrons of a given kind of atom are located in a central nucleus. All the electrons equal in number to the protons spin on their axes and revolve at a relative great distances from it, rather reminiscent of the miniature solar system, so that most of the volume of the atom is merely empty space, just as the solar system. The spinning of these fantastically small particles approaches the speed of light 186,000 miles per second, and has been doing so since creation without any interruption whatsoever. Why? The only intelligent answer must lie in the fact that someone has commanded it, and who could such someone be but God Himself? And note that Doc says again, he says, our logical and inescapable conclusion is not only that creation occurred, but that it was brought about according to the plan and will of a person endowed with supreme intelligence and knowledge and the power to bring it about and to keep it running according to plan, always and everywhere throughout the universe. Thus, there is a recognized need for upholding all things by the word of His power, a need supplied by our Lord, who at the word of power is the rightful King of all creation. The only logical reason that can be given to as why the electron travels at the speed of light for 1,000 years or 1,000,000,000 is that Christ has commanded it. And the same is true for the suns in the galaxies. Truly, truly, He has the whole world in His hands. These Old Testament saints couldn't see that. We can see that. There's no excuse. Conviction, humility. We're going to put on this new creation. We're going to glorify You, Jesus Christ. Help us. You can do it. You can do it. Look what we have. look there, he's also in Romans, in Hebrews, he's also conquered death to the power, so that we might free those who are fear of death, subject to slavery all their lives. Man, I had a fear of death forever and ever. He's conquered that for me. Truly, truly. Look over here in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 9. Look at this here. These guys couldn't see this, and we can see this. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, but a mere copy of the true one, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, that the high priest would enter the holy place year by year with his own blood, not of his own. Look, it says, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Woo! These guys didn't have anything like that. They didn't get to heaven until he went in there and purified it. He appeared into heaven for every one of us in this room. And these guys couldn't see that, and they conquered by faith. Barry, it ain't no excuse. I'm looking at me. No excuse. Let's go back to Hebrews. I'm running out of time. I gotta get rolling here. Fixing, verse 2, Hebrews 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hey, I want to, you know why Bible studies are so important, and personal reading and pondering the Word of God yourself, but we've been coming here to Richmond for a year and a half or so, and Brother Matt's coming down on Sunday evenings we started assembly there. And I appreciate my brother. I don't want to overdo that, but I respect him and love him. He's helping me. He's teaching me. I kind of was thrown in things years ago, maybe wasn't prepared. But this lesson we had a few weeks ago out of Isaiah chapter 50 just cut my heart. And it's really awesome. I want you to see it. Let's go to Isaiah 50. And we're talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the new creation. Isaiah chapter 50 says here, we're going to look at 4 through 9. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. This is Jesus. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen to the disciples. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I am not disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. So here, this is a picture of Christ in service here. The man, this is actually Philippians chapter 2 in practice, where it talks about Christ, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Look at this here. He says, the Lord God will give the tongue of disciples. This word here in the Hebrew, I'm running out of time, so I'm just going to kind of blow through this a little bit. It means the ones that is taught. It means it's translated disciples. So Jesus, the very form of God, equal with God, John 5, he emptied himself and had to be taught by the Father. Now, it wasn't quite the same way that we're taught, like the disciples and the apostles. There's a little difference there. Hey, I encourage you, if Brother Matt will do a better job, it's Isaiah chapter 50. He'll be glad to send that to you. It's a great lesson. But he had to empty himself. He had to be taught. He had to learn. He was a disciple. The Son of God, the one who created the world, who upholds all things by the word of his power, who's got the nuclear bomb in their hand? Who really does? He had to be taught. He became a disciple. Oh, it's conviction, humility, commitment, faith abounding. Look at this stuff. So great a salvation. The Word of God, isn't it? The riches in here, that's in here. And that's why we continue to study and dig deeper to continue to build up our faith. He emptied himself with the equality of God. The Father will equip the servant with divine wisdom and instruction. The obedient character of the servant is emphasized here. He will hear the command and he'll do it by faith, not by sight. It says, and he sent, verse John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. John 8:29, Jesus speaks there. Romans 5:19, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Through the obedience. Jesus had to be obedient. He emptied himself of knowledge and wisdom. He had to grow in stature. I'm going about my father's business. 12 years old, he's learning the Word of God. He's memorizing the Word of God, Old Testament. So this thing here, he emptied himself. The Lord has given me a tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain everyone, every weary one with the Word. Truly, he does that. He continues to do that. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Here's the concept there, Old Testament slave. This mint's not keeping my mouth from being dry. The Old Testament slave, while he was a slave, would get a bride. And then maybe he would have children. And he loved his master, he loved his wife. So when it was time to set him free, he had to make a choice. He's either going to go free and leave his wife and his children or his wife as still slaves, or he was going to stay as a slave and keep his wife. And if he decided to stay and keep his wife, they would put his ear at the doorpost and pierce his ear. Jesus says, "The Lord has opened my ear." Jesus chose his bride. He chose his master, the Father. He opened his ear by free will. He chose to go to the cross. He chose to be our example. He chose to offer himself. He has a bride and it's you. He loves his bride. Isn't that something? That's an awesome thing to study it out a little more than what I'm going into it. Let me get down. Let's see. Go back to Hebrews 7 here. I mean, Hebrews 12. I'm going to go up here, jump up here to verse 7 in that Isaiah 50. But go ahead and hold your place there in Hebrews. He says, "Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." The word there is halamus, is translated flint, is comparable to the Akkadian word E-L-M-E-S-U, which means diamond. His will, his drive, his faith was hard as a diamond as he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Because you know what was at Jerusalem? His will was so, he was so determined he would not, he told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter was saying, "No, Lord, we're not going to let you get beaten, crucified, and whipped and all that." His will was hard as a diamond. Let's see this in action. Go with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. He set his face like flint. Here's in the garden the night before the cross here. And there, verse 4, John 18. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" The Roman guys here, they answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he said to them, these words here, there's three words here echo through the entire universe forever and ever. Maybe that's some of the greatest words that's ever been spoken. It's just three words. He set his face like flint. "I'm going forward. My hour has come." And the Romans, one was going to put him to death, going to crucify him. He knew what was coming. And what he said, he says, "I am he." Right. You know what that meant when he said, "I am he"? The cross of Calvary the next day. "I am he." Whew. He set his face like flint. "I'm going forward. I love the Father and I love my bride." and I'm going to do this by strong will and faith in God the Father. He had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. He did all this to set the example for us. He had to do it. He had to be perfect. But the real purpose of having this, to do all this is for us, to be the example so that we can do this. We can live this life of faith. And it's going to get harder, guys. Is the church being surrounded? Is the saints being surrounded by it? Yes, it is, slowly. The forces of darkness? He did this so... If we are to have a realistic, not superficial commitment and discipleship to Him, then the servant must experience suffering and obedience. He must obey the Father's commandments at the cost of self, not only for himself, but for us. So the servant, God incarnate, emptied himself so that he would make known how to sustain by example and live by faith in Him. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. And I want to show you this here. Look what I've just shown you in Isaiah. Okay, look what we've just looked at there in John. I am He. He's going forward. He's opened His ear. I'm going to stay. I love my bride. I'm going to stay as a bondservant. I'm going to do that. Okay? And look at this, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Who the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter, the author and perfecter of faith. Look at Him. Look to Him every day. Every day. And I won't say things that make me a hypocrite or anything. I do. We pray and we constantly examine ourselves and going forward and listening to messages and memorizing scripture and sometimes being disappointed and getting back up and told them, honey, I'll never quit. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in Him. These guys are shed blood. And this saints here in verse 4 here and had not shed blood, and they were thinking about going back to Judaism. And he said, hold on here, don't do that. You have not, he says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. And, you know, God's going to discipline. We're going to go through training, hardship, trials and tribulations. That's all training for perseverance of faith. It's what it does. You can take two directions. You got a choice. When trials and tribulations and discipline comes, you can get angry and resentful and draw Him back and throw your hands up and quit, or you can set your eyes on Jesus, who learned obedience from the things He suffered. The truth is, a new creation will learn obedience through suffering, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example for you to follow in His steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Let's keep working. Let's wrap it up here. We're going to keep working. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. John 6:29. The new creation is going to keep on working. I want to know more. I want more conviction. I want more holiness. I want more Jesus. Glorify You. Because I want to go to heaven. I want to glorify God. I've got Jesus on my mind. I've never been there, but they've told me that the gates are made of pearling and the streets are made of gold. But I say the half has never been told. The half has never been told. We ain't seen anything yet in my old redneck language. We haven't seen anything yet. We are born again. It's a beautiful thing. Everybody looks good at the starting line. Get on your mark. Get ready. But you better keep this in mind. You can hit the ground running like you're shot from a gun. But going the distance is the hard part, son. Everybody looks good at the starting line. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Daily preparation, new creation, transformation, studying, praying, proclaiming. growing mentally tough, but full of compassion, full of love. New creation. You know, I got 10 minutes. You're not going to do anything without this. You could stock up all the books that's ever been written in the history of the world. Stock them up in your mind. How high does it go into space? Stock them all up. And there's only one book that's ever has been or ever will be with words of eternal life. And it's this one right here. We're told, James says, so therefore lay aside all filthiness, all that remains Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if a man is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Jesus implanted the word of God. The apostles did, so we're going to do that too. I'm going to encourage you with that here, just real quickly, 10 minutes here. Go ahead and go to 1 John. We're going to wrap up. This is not, guys from South Carolina, this is not Ephesians. And brethren here in Richmond here, this is not Colossians. Go to 1 John. We're going to implant the Word of God in our hearts and minds. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. And the life was manifested. We have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which is with the Father was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that we have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Son, with His Father Jesus, with His Son Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him announced to you, that God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, does not keep His commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in Him. The one who says he abides in Him, must himself walk in the same manner as He walked. Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he's in the light yet hates his brother is in darkness till now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who's been from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know Him who's been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Surely it's the last hour, just as you heard that Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they're not all of us. But you have anointing from the Holy One, you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, because no lies are the truth. Who is a liar? but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also abide in the Son and the Father. This is the promise that He Himself has made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you. You have no need for anyone to teach you. And just as His anointing teaches you about all things and is true and not a lie, just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, so when He appears, we may have confidence, not shrink away from it, shame that is coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know also everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we've been called children of God? Such we are. For this reason, the world does not know it because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It's not appeared as yet what we'll be. We know that when He appears, we'll be like Him because we'll see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on himself purifies himself just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know, He appeared in order to take away sin. In Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, destroyed the works of the devil. No one born of God practices sin because his seed abides in him. He cannot sin. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain was of the evil one that slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know we have passed out of life to death because you love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know, no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but deed and truth. We will know by this that we are the truth and sure our hearts before Him. Whatever our heart condemns us, God is greater in all things. God is greater and knows our heart. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in Him. We know by this, we abide in Him. I think I might have messed up there. How about chapter 4? What have we done here? Just a couple minutes. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But as you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come into flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard of his coming. Now it's already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than He is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak us in the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us. He is not of God, does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son to the world, so we might live through Him. And this love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, also we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know we abide in Him, and He in us has given His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. For God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so we may have confidence on the day of judgment. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. The one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. And this command we have for him, the one who loves God should love his brother also. Let's finish it up. I got a minute here. Chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves a child born of Him. By this we know the love we love the children of God. We love God and deserve His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and commandments not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is victory to overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but the water and the blood. It's a spirit that testifies because the spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, spirit, the water, and the blood. The three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that God has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God is a testimony himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he's not believed the testimony God is giving concerning his Son. The testimony is this, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has a life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have a life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which you've asked for him. If anyone sees a brother committing sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. Now, I do not say you should make a request for this. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin not leading to death. We know no one born of God sins, but he who is born of God keeps him. The evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We know the Son of God has come and give us understanding so we may know him who is true. We are in him who is true. We are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols.